Dear friends, I am glad to speak to you and congratulate you that you are fortunate to have the man body which is the highest in all creation. All masters have spoken very highly about man body because it is the man body alone in which we can see and know God. Man is the oldest of all philosophies and religions. Man has got almost the same privileges from God. Born the same way, outer construction of the body is the same, two hands, 2 feet, 2 eyes, nose, etc. And inner construction is also the same. Each man has got stomach, lungs, brain. Every morning, principality clears all filth on the body. So great is man. All masters who came in the past said in their own times that this wonderful house of the man body we live in, it has about 9 apertures. With all these 9 apertures are 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, mouth, and other genital organs. We cannot run away out of it. Our breathing goes out, but cannot remain outside. Some power is bringing it back into the body. Surgeons perform operations. The old man is cut with all that operation lasts for hours together, but still we cannot run away out of the body. You find all masters who came, they have been speaking very highly about man body. The Mohammedan scriptures tell us when the bodies were set up, God ordered the angels to bow down before the man body. Similarly, he said in the Upanishads that whenever the bodies were set up, the souls of the rishis entered the man body, considering it to be the highest in all creation. So it is the man body alone in which we can know God and in no other. That is why you'll find in the Bible too, it is said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" The same thing is repeated in Corinthians. "Know ye not that your body is the temple of Holy Ghost, which is within you?" And with all that, further they go to say, "As the Spirit of God, the supreme power, dwells in us, what are we but the Spirit of God? As we are the Spirit of God, then why search we for a so-called life principle? We are the Spirit of God, and as the Spirit of God is eternal, why think we that we can die and become extinct?" So all ancient masters, whoever came in the past, taught that man is eternal in his own nature, in his own right, which stems from the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost in man's body. So greatness of man has been spoken of by all masters who came in the past. So all masters have come to the conclusion that there is a maker of the whole universe. It did not just come about by itself. The maker is unchangeable. But the world created is continually undergoing change. The reason why, so God has made of one substance, which is of all consciousness. As it is made of one substance, there is no question of decomposition arises. And the universe, which is made by matter, matter is made of elements, and elements are made of atoms. So there is a composition of atoms. The time will come when that decomposes or decentralizes. So that is why the universe that is made by God is changing all the time. So man is made after the image of God. God, the man body, which is made of elements. Elements are made of atoms. That's also composition of the so many atoms. That is why it is changing. Man body does not last long. Soul being of the same essence as that of God, being conscious entity, a drop of the ocean of life, well, that is also made of one substance. As such, the question of decomposition does not arise. So for these reasons you will find that all masters who came, that we are fortunate, we have got the man body. So we are the indweller of the body. We see, we work, our bodies work when we are in the body, and we are also in the body until some controlling power is keeping us in the body. That very power is also controlling all creation. So we are in the body so long as we are controlled in the body, and similarly the whole creation works under the control of God. So when that power is withdrawn from us, we have to leave the body. And when that very power leaves the universe, naturally the dissolution and grand dissolution sets in. So man is a wonderful house in which we live in. We are composed of body and intellect, and we are in soul bodies, our embodied soul. So you see, we are developed physically and intellectually very wonderfully. In the physical way, we have just found so many systems to know by anatomy how the system of the man body works and how it is retarded, how diseases arise, and how those can be avoided. So there are so many systems with us. The oldest is the Ayurvedic, then comes the Yunani system, and the allopathic, homeopathic, electronic treatments, naturopathy, and so on. And intellect also. We have dwelt wonderfully in the way of intellect. We have just invented such like machines through which we can hear voice from thousands of miles, like radios. We can also now see who is speaking through television. We have just got such like instruments that we can go around the world in an hour or so. We are now trying to reach the moon. So we are developed physically as well as intellectually. But with all these advancements, we are not happy, because the third side, which is our own self, we have cared little or nothing about that. So we have to know, that is why all masters who came in the past, they gave out, man know thyself. So this has been the slogan of all masters who came in the past. Man know thyself. Old Greeks had also to say the same thing. They also said, Gnothi Sioton. That means know thyself. The Upanishads also say the same thing. So you find we have to know who we are and what we are. Unless we know spiritually, all this, there are so many inventions by which we are dreading. You see, the world will come to an end, and that is the production of these atomic weapons. The hydrogen bombs we have created, also neutron bombs, it is afraid that if this war begins, the world will come to an end. So unless we develop spirituality, our own self, knowing our own self, And to know God, there is little or no hope for the world over. We have also, you will see, we have given bread to our physical body. We have become physically strong. We have given the food of reading and writing to the intellect. We have also become intellectually strong. But what food we have given to our own self? Soul is a conscious entity. So the food of soul can only be consciousness, bread of life, and the water of life. So you see where to find this bread of life. You'll find in the Christ saying, I am the bread of life. This bread of life has come down from heaven. Whoever partakes of it, he shall have everlasting life. Similarly, you'll find that Christ once went to a well where a Samaritan lady was carrying a pitcher of water over her head. He asked her to give water to him to drink. But she, on account of his inferiority complex, told him, well, you people have got no connection with the Samaritans. Why are you asking for water? And the Christ said, had she known who it was who was asking for water, she would have given him. But the water that she is carrying, if you drink that water, that quenches thirst for a while. But had she come to me, I would have given her the living water of life. If once drunk, that will quench thirst forever. So this is the bread of the water of life which the masters do give. But at another time, he also gave out what he was. He said, the world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So what is world? He says world was materialized in the human form. And what is world? God is worldless, the absolute state of God. When it came into being or into expression or into action, that power which came into expression or action is called by the word world. So in John we find, in the beginning was the world was with God, and world was God. And it was further said, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was in the world. Then again they said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Then again they say, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, upholding all things by the word of his power. So this God in action power, when it materialized and manifested in the human form of the Master Jesus, that was the true bread of life, which by eating or drinking which you would have everlasting life. So our highest aim in the man body is to know God. To know God, we have to know our own self first, because God cannot be known by the intellect, by the outward faculties, and by mind. So unless we know ourselves, liberate ourselves from mind, and mind is just analyzed from the outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are stopped by going outside, until then we cannot know ourselves. You know that we are souls, all souls are under the control of mind, and mind is under the control of the outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are so engrossed in the outer pleasure, so much so that they have been identified with them so by so that we have forgotten ourselves. So first step to know God would be to know ourselves first. So how to know ourselves first? We must withdraw our outgoing faculties from the outside. Then liberate our mind from the clutches of the outgoing faculties. And then analyze our own self from mind. You find soul is eternal. When it is combined with mind, it becomes the active member and comes and goes. Unless we know ourselves, we cannot know God. That is why all Master says, please know yourself, who you are, what you are. If you ask a little child of 3 or 4 years who you are, he simply opens his eyes and opens his mouth. He feels something just within the face. But as he grows in years, he is so much identified with the outside things that he cannot differentiate himself. If you ask him who you are, he says, I am Mr. Joseph, I am Mr. Schmidt. And he goes further to say, I am a Christian, I am a Mohammedan, I am a Jew, and so on. And still further, he will say, I am an Indian, I am a Christian, I am American, or German, or French. So man goes out so far that he forgets his own very self as a soul and as a man too. So first thing before us is to know ourselves, because it is the self alone that can know God. So all masters who came in the past, they gave out that mankind is the highest in all creation, and the highest purpose before us is to know God. Unless we know God, we cannot unless we know our own self, we cannot know God. So self-knowledge precedes God-knowledge. Now you'll find our souls are being controlled by that controlling power which is also within us. The way the Master say, God resides in every heart. So to know God, you'll have to just tap inside, as Emerson puts it. We'll have to enter the temple of the man body, which is made by God. How to enter within? This is a problem before us. If we can find somebody who knows the way, it is easier for us. So two brothers, soul and God, both reside in the temple of the man body, but pity it is that soul cannot speak to God or see God. Similarly, it is said, soul and God both are lying in the same bed, but our soul, being under the control of mind and outgoing faculties, it is engrossed in the outside things so much so that is awake from outside and quite asleep from within, and that God within is waiting for her when the soul is withdrawn from outside and looks within to find him within. So if you to find God, what we will have to do? We will have to do just to enter the laboratory of a man body. So macrocosm is in the microcosm of the man body. In macrocosm there are 3 planes, physical, astral and causal. So God has given us 3 planes, physical body, also astral body and the causal body, so that we may be able to traverse whenever we like in those planes. But the pity it is, we do not know how to leave the physical body. At the time of death, we do leave this physical body, but at that time we can do little or nothing. Now is the time all masters say, you must learn to leave the body at will. What we do generally, we simply look those people who really, after knowing God, they take to the reading of the scriptures. What are the scriptures? Scriptures are the final record of the teachings of the masters who came in the past. Whatever experiences they had with God and knowing Himself, those are the final records of the experiences they had. Those are now with us for our guidance. We are fortunate in this 20th century that we have got the scriptures of all masters who came in the past. Had we come before them, say 500 years back, we would not have had the scriptures of the Sikh gurus. About 1500 years back, had we come, we would not have the scriptures of the Mohammedans, the Al-Quran. Had you come before 2000 years, the Bible would not have been with us. Still go back, had you come before Zoroaster or the Buddha, you would not have their scriptures with us. So you will find we are fortunate in this 20th century that we have got the scriptures of all masters who came in the past. What do they say? By reading which they create in us an interest to have the same experiences as they had with God. And what things helped them on the way, and what things stood in the way, how to remove them, and what bliss and pleasure they had in finding God. So all scriptures are a final record of all that. By reading that, we can create an interest in us to those very experiences have in our own lives. But you will find in the scriptures, masters gave out what they saw or experienced in their life. So we need now somebody who also had the same experience in life. If you want to understand them by the intellectual people who have had no experience of rising above body consciousness, of the experiences of the beyond, you cannot have the right import of them. So we can read scriptures, but to have the right import of all scriptures, we need somebody who has had the same experience in their own life. So intellectuals, why they differ? Because they do not know, they have not have experienced same way as the old masters had. They simply say something as a matter of feeling or matter of emotions arising out of feelings or as a matter of drawing inferences to come to some conclusion. But really they are all subject to error. Seeing is above all, and seeing comes only to the soul. When soul is liberated from intellect, outgoing faculties, so it is purely a matter of self-analysis. So all masters, whenever they came, they said, please learn to die so that you may begin to live. This has been taught by almost all masters. Guru Nanak says, just learn to die 100 times a day while alive. Prophet Muhammad said, O man, you have got the man body, which is highest in all creation. Go learn to lead the body at will, transcend the senses, and have experience of God yourself. When the man out of curiosity asked him, will such a death will lead us to the grave? The Prophet said, no, it is not such a death that will lead you to the grave, but it will lead you from darkness to light. So, you find, is it possible to die daily? myself. St. Paul said, I die daily. St. Plutarch tells us the experience that a soul has at the time of death while leaving the body, the same experience one has when he rises into the beyond and just introduced into the mysteries of the beyond. So this is what is meant by dying daily. By dying daily means just to withdraw our attention, which is the expression of our soul in man, in us, from outside. First withdraw from outside and enter within the laboratory of man's body. First thing, you see, from the burning rays of the sun, when you enter some house, you feel rest. Similarly, when you withdraw your attention from outside, just enter within the man body, concentrate there, you feel rest and little desire. But that is also not sufficient. You have to rise above senses. You have to rise above the outgoing faculties. There are five in number. The faculty of sight works through the eyes. The faculty of the hearing works through the ears. The faculty of smell works through the nostril. The faculty of taste works through the tongue. And faculty of touch is worked through the skin. So there are five outgoing faculties working through the five organs of sense, so that our attention, which is going out through these outgoing faculties into the world, if that is withdrawn from outside within, you feel rest. But that is not sufficient. You must learn to rise above the outgoing faculties, and they all end up to the level of the eyes. So you'll find at the time of death, soul is withdrawn from below, rising above, just our eyes are upturned and lost drops in comes. So seat of the soul in the body is at the back of the eyes. So it is a matter of practical self-analysis. If you go to some intellectual people, what do they say? Well, it is not actually leaving the body, but it is just your forgetting your eyehood. So similarly, when you rise above body consciously, what do you find? Christ gave out, except ye be born anew, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, who was the ruler of the place, came up to Christ and said, Lord, I am an old man. How can I enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? And the Christ told him, flesh is bone of the flesh and spirit of the spirit. Flesh is bone of the corruptible seed and spirit is bone of the incorruptible seed. Just to be born anew means rising above body consciousness after learning how to leave the body at will. So this has been the teachings of the other masters also in other countries. They say man must be twice born. What do they do at the time? They had a regular custom for that. Children of 5, 6, 7 years old were made to sit and just give an experience how to rise above body consciousness. First birth is in the flesh. And the second birth is into the beyond, above, rising above body consciousness. So these are the wordings of the masters that they have been given out from time to time, but the intellectuals do not give the right justice to the work because they have had no experience of all these things. So similarly, you find all masters, they say, God appears within the man body. If you just tap inside, that Emerson says, are you right about body consciousness, or you be reborn, you enter the kingdom of God. So kingdom of God cannot be had by observation, by out were the ways of knowing God, which form part of reading of scriptures and performing, say, rites and rituals, as well as saying prayers. So each has its own scope. By reading scriptures, we create in us an interest to have the same experiences as the masters had in their life. Their scope ends there. And performing the various rites and rituals and saying prayers go to develop in us love and devotion for God. So their scope ends there too. So love, on the wings of love we can fly it into the heavens. These are the preparation of the ground and is meant for higher purpose. The next step that we have to take is to be born anew. I learn to die so that you may begin to live. So all masters say like that. What will you find then? Well, that God who was wordless, when it came into being, there was vibrations, and there were two things manifest there. God is light and sound principle. You'll find God is called light. And God, voice of God, these two things, light and sound principle, we find when we just rise above body consciousness, are born into the beyond. So enter the kingdom of God is to just enter first within the laboratory of man body, then to rise above body consciousness. And there are planes and planes and so many planes. There are so many mansions in the house of our Father. There's the astral plane, there's the causal plane, there's the super causal plane and the spiritual plane. So soul rises into the world, though it is very hard for those who are given up to the outward enjoyments. For that they have a pure heart. That is why people say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All other masters say the same thing. Buddha just said that the Eightfold Path, Buddha, is meant for the preparation of the ground. Sermon on the Mount also you find this gives the same thing. And all other masters also say the same thing. We must have purity of heart who would like to enter the kingdom of God. So therein you find manifestation of God in two aspects. One, you find light of God within, and the other, you hear the voice of God within. So light of God you find in the scriptures, if you shut the doors of the temple of the body, you'll see the light of heaven. Other masters say, when you're outward, outsider, outgoing faculties are withdrawn from outside and inverted within, you find the light there. You'll also find further that I, the light of the body, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So how the two eyes can become single, it is a practical subject. This is only opens the inner eye, which when we just withdraw from outside and rise above body consciousness or the senses, that the eye is open. This single eye is within all. This is closed, you see, so far. Our inner ears are also sealed, as the scriptures tell us. Now there should be somebody who could break those seals and enable us to open the inner eye to see the light of God and open the inner ears to hear the voice of God. Even the blind men, though they have no outer eyes to see, they have also that single eye within them. So you'll find if that inner eye is opened, they also can see the light of God. So Guru Nanak defines who is a blind man. He does not say those who have no eyes on the face, but he says whose inner eye or the single eye is not opened. He is truly a blind man. So man may have the outer eyes or not, still he has got that inner eye to see the light of God. If that opens, he has light within and he can see it. He can also hear the voice of God within. So that is why Masters once Christ told his disciples, blessed are ye that see things what the old prophets and the righteous men could not see. Blessed are ye that hear the things which the old prophets and the righteous could not hear. So there is something to see and something to hear of the two aspects of God. God is light, God is sound principle. So you will find outer, we have got the various masters telling us the same thing, all speaking of the light and sound principle. Socrates heard within him a peculiar sound which pulled him irresistibly into the higher spiritual regions. Plato also refers to it as the music of the spheres. Pythagoras also talked of that and described God supreme music of the nature of all harmonies. And God to him was absolute truth clothed in light. Zoroaster sang in long faith of the greatness of the God of light and taught the people to do so. They keep fire burning all the time in their temples, the unstuck fire. It also refers to the Sarosha. So Sarosha is the cause of all creation in the world. Here in Bible we find that world is the cause of all creation in the world. In the Hindu scriptures we find Shabda, the Nama, is the cause of all creation in the world. In Mohammedan literature we find the same thing. Kalma is the cause of everything. So all have been speaking about light and sound principle of God. So you'll find in Bible too, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They also refer in the Revelation, they heard thunder and the harp was playing with harps. So by referring all these things to you, what I mean, that the basic experiences that the masters had from time to time when they came, they gave out the same thing. They had that competency to know, to show to other people, to enable other people to have the same experience of light of God and hear the voice of God as they had themselves. So you'll find all masters who came before, they say, Son knows the Father and others whom the Son revealed. So all outward temples of various religions, they're made after the model of man. They are domed, many of the temples are dome-shaped like Hindus temples, like head of the man body. The masks of the Mohammedans are forehead shaped. They have got masks like that. And the churches are cross-shaped or nose-shaped, and you'll find in all of them they keep symbols of two things, one candle of light and the other sound principle in the form of bells or drum beats. So the outer models were made after the image of man body, showing that such like light and such like sound principle is reverberating within your own self. These outer models were made only as a model to show like that, so long as their practical masters, those who came to them, they made them see, open the inner eye to see the light of God and hear the voice of God which is reverberating in our own temples of the man body which is God made. So the question now arises, how to enter the laboratory of man body? All masters say macrocosm is the macrocosm of the man body. God is eyes in every heart. God is light and God is sound principle. So if we just have recourse to the outward methods, well, they create in us an interest to know God by reading scriptures, and by performing rites and rituals and saying prayers, we develop in us love and devotion for God. These are all good actions. They are meant for the preparation of the ground, but we have to take further step to just rise above senses, open the single eye within us, which is called the third eye or the latent eye or the Shiva Netra in other scriptures. When that eye opens, you see the light of God. Even children, they can see the light of God. So there are methods how to rise above body consciousness. They are man-made ways which are difficult, hazardous, and time-consuming. We are hereditarily not fit for them. So master's way is the natural way. Even a child, an old man, every man can see it. Simply that does not involve the breathing pranas, but simply withdraw, give an impetus to rise above body consciousness and open the inner eye to see the light of God. So that happens, all things already exist within you. The only thing is before us how to enter the temple of the man body. So here we need, if we can do our own self well and good. If not, we need somebody to guide us. So we do reference to all past masters who came in the past. They are also needed. Had they not come, we would have no testimony to bear out that really there is a light and sound principle of God. So we do reference to that. Even now we need somebody who enters this liberty of the man body, rises above the eye level, opens the single eye to see the light of God, opens the inner ears to hear the voice of God. Call him by any name you like, that if we meet him, he'll be able to give you a first an experience how to rise above body consciousness, how to open the inner eye and see the light of God. He will also open our inner ears how to hear the voice of God, which is already reverberating within us. So these are the two, main experiences, the principal ways which can lead us to the absolute God. The light and sound principle, this is what is called Jyoti Marg and Shruti Marg in other religions. In Mohammedan it is called Quran-e-Kareem and Noor. That means the same thing as I quoted you already from Zoroaster and others. So the way back to God commences when you rise above body consciousness, when your inner eye is open. From there on, where the world philosophies end, there the religion starts. So if you know how to rise above body consciousness, or is anybody who is competent to give you that experience, you will bear testimony to that. When you come to him, you see darkness within. But when he gives you a sitting, he makes your soul rise above senses, you bear testimony that there is light of God, and also hear the word, voice of God. So if you have got some experience to start with, that it will develop from day to day, just that will lead you where? To the place from where he is emanated to the absolute God. So is it possible to see the light of God, to see God? Masters have gave reference to that. Some have said nobody has seen God at any time. Also some masters say that they have seen God. Well, both statements are true, but they are made from different levels. First stating that nobody has seen God at any time in life is given from the level of the absolute God or the worldless state of God. And that those who say they have seen God, Christ was asked when there was a God, he said, behold the Lord. No reasoning given. Because who sees, he can also enable others to see. Guru Nanak was asked whether there was a God. He says, I see God everywhere. This is Kavi said so, all other masters said so. Shavastra Braid, the Mohammedan saints tells us, we must be able to see God with our own eyes. we must be heard, able to hear the voice of God with our own ears. So what are those eyes? Those eyes are not of flesh and bone, but the inner eye or the third or the single eye that is within each one of us. So that is, for that purpose we need somebody who knows the way and can put us on the way, makes us rise above body consciousness, see the light of God. Now you see, is this thing possible with everyone? That's the question now. Well, it is possible. Even with the blind men, they have all other, privileges the same as others have got. Some have lost eyes only on account of something which happened in their life. First they used to see the light outside. Their outer eyes were closed. Some are born blind. So there are still, with all that, there is the single eye within each one of us. If that is open, we can see, even with no eyes on the forehead, the light of God which is shining within us, when we can rise above the body consciousness. So for a blind man, I would say, they have got one shortcoming, but you will find even the darkest cloud has a silver lining somewhere. So blind man have done wonderful work in the past. Even now they are doing. You will find the power of our attention is diffused in the world about 80% through our eyes. So that power is not lost. They have got that reserved power with them. So they can still work wonderfully in any way in which they can be put on. So there have been, you'll find, even the kings who were just carrying on the whole governments of the countries. Dhritarashtra was in the east. There were just singers who were blind, and they were wonderful singers. Even you see, we have got even now a very great yogi who was blind from birth. And he has all Vedas, all Upanishads, all various scriptures of the Hindus by heart. He knows the pages and the lines of the books. So blind man has got a wonderful memory, because his attention is not lost, which is 80%, and that is, he is in control of that. To conversant, we find even they have got the faculty even to recognize people by touching. So as I told you, even with that shortcoming, even the blind men have got the same privileges from God. They can work wonderfully in the auto physically, intellectually, and also spiritually, if their inner eye is made to open by some competent person who knows the way. So God has given equal privileges to all. So I would say that when you rise above body consciousness, all masters tell us that there are two ways. One is the outer way, which is very beautiful, which is just the way we have through the outgoing faculties. And these outgoing faculties, we have so much of the attention diffused in the world. Through the eyes alone, about 80% of the power is diffused into the world through the eyes, and 14% through the ears, and 6% from the remaining outgoing faculties. You would say the blind man has the privilege of having 80%, of the attention not diffused in the world. There is a silver lining for them. So there is hope for everybody. Whatever God gives as a reaction from our past, we have to abide by that. There is no way out. We have to do our best and leave the rest to God. But with the privileges what we have got already with us, we can be thankful to Him, and as a blind man we can progress more than the other people outside even. So with these few words are my best wishes to all of you, that there is hope for you as well. There is nothing to be disheartened. So this very talk perhaps will freak you to your ears, though they've got no eyes to see, and perhaps to the other system by just making something to make you understand what I now convey to you, the message. So my best wishes are with you all. We are all children of God. As a man, we have the right to know God. And God has given us privileges like that. Some have got more, the others have less. But as I told you just now, that those who have got no eyes outside, they have got more privilege than the other people too. So it might be asked, how can we, what steps we have to take in the way of knowing God? So first step is our hearts, the subconscious reservoir of our hearts, and full with the impressions we receive from the outside through the outgoing faculties. So as I told you, 80% of the impressions are just received through the eyes, and 14% to the ears, and 6% from the other outgoing faculties. So our reservoir of the subconscious mind is overflowing with the impressions being received from the outside. Whenever you sit in concentration, some thoughts come of themselves about which you never dreamed them. What are those impressions or the thoughts within you that you have been receiving through the outgoing faculties? So first step with us is just to deplete those impressions which are already within us by having the same way in by which those impressions have been embedded in us. That is by having the sweet remembrance of the outside things. So first step to know God is to just remember Him sweetly, with all love, with all devotion, so much so that no other thought can just enter your mind. Truly speaking, a pure heart is one in which no other thought than God just happens there. So such a heart with the know that will come only by the constant sweet remembrance of God. And by sweet remembrance of God, you will develop love in you. And love is the way back to God. God is love, and love is God. Our souls being of the same essence as that of God, we are also love personified. And the way back to God is also through love. So the Bible says, those who do not know love cannot know God. Again they say, those who do not understand love cannot understand God. St. John said he was led to a school to give a talk. He went over there and began talking. He told them, love, boys, love one another. Then again he rose his head and said, repeated the same words, boys, love one another. Third time too, he said the same thing and kept quiet. The other people asked him, well, haven't you anything else to say? He said, I've said everything. Love and all things shall be added unto you. Love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And love thy neighbor and love thy all creation. Because God resides in every heart. Tenth Guru of the Sikhs tell us, hear ye all. Irrespective to whatever religion you belong, I tell you the truth. God can only be approached through love. So for the purpose of developing love, there are ways and ways. First is just to read the scriptures. The other is just to perform certain rites and rituals and sing prayers. That is to develop the love within us. And the best of all is to just sit by somebody whose soul is overflowing with the love of God. You see, love can be contacted like infection in the company of others who are lovers of God. It is just like that you read about the energy. You might read many books on energy, but you cannot feel the true energy, what it could be. You just begin to sit by wrestler who has dwelt that energy within himself, he may not be teaching you anything at all by being in his company. You like to become that energy, appeals to you, just overflowing in some man's body. So the best way is just to sit by the feet of somebody who is a true lover of God. Guru Amar Das tells us, well, if you have got the man body and we have not developed the love for God, our life may be put hundreds of questions on that. So what to do? He says, just sit by somebody who is overflowing with the love of God in his company, you will develop the love of God. When you have got so much of love that in your dreams you also dream of that. When you go into sound sleep, you may reverberate the same words of God. So Kabir says, if you find any man like that, who even in a deep state of sleep reverberates the name of God, he says, I will be ready to give my skin for the shoes of such a man. So love is the way back to God. So that is the love I think we can develop in the sweet members of God and in the company of those who are lovers of God. This is the way back to God. Thank you so much for your patient hearing.